2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if I could paraphrase, if any man, any individual is truly saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if anyone is truly saved, they are a new creation. A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. True conversion is the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And we ought to look for that. We ought to look for that purity. An unholy, unregenerated church can never be the pillar of truth. If there be a failure in vital godliness, if humble walking with God be neglected, the church cannot long remain a healthy church. Spurgeon preached that if we take into our churches those who are not converted, we swell the numbers, but we diminish our real strength. If we're not particular about examining a person's salvation and conversion, we don't look for that true sign of purity. The church role may grow numerically, but ultimately the church is weakened. Church is weakened. True success was not measured by numbers alone with Spurgeon. He said, our success in a measure depends upon the vitality, the healthiness, and the godliness of each individual. How can churches work to be sure her numbers are real Christians? For Spurgeon, the answer was simple. By careful membership examination. He preached, we cannot possibly be too strict in the examination of those who are proposed for church fellowship. We can't be too strict. When somebody comes before this church, we must require them to make their calling and election sure. We must do our due diligence in examining their profession. Item number 2 was sound doctrine. Is the gospel faithfully preached? Is sound doctrine affirmed and celebrated? If not, a church might be headed towards hell rather than health. Spurgeon said, alas, if her doctrines be tainted, her faith will not be maintained, and the church, being unsound, can't tell what next may occur. Spurgeon held true to his conviction throughout his preaching. In another sermon, he said, a healthy church kills error. A healthy church kills error. A healthy church tears error into pieces. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Read verse 1 through 5. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their husbands' children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Healthy church must possess sound doctrine. Number three, unity. Unity. Whenever the foot is at enmity with the hand, there must be something like madness in the body. There cannot be sound mind within that frame which is divided against itself. If the foot, that part of the body, that part of the church, is at enmity or fussing and fighting with the hand or another part of the body, that's not a healthy church. Nor can that church maintain health for very long. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, a couple of these verses we read so often, maybe have them memorized, but I want to read a couple maybe that we don't usually get to. Speaking to the church at Ephesus, consequently to all the Lord's churches, including ours at this time, verse 11 of Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do all that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's given us pastors and preachers and teachers. The work within the church, that we might be perfected and matured and made complete. He's given us his word, and he's given us his preachers to preach the word till we come in the unity of the faith. And that should be something we strive for all the time. Number four, good works. A church that is healthy or wants to maintain health must be devoted to good works. The man writing this article says the church must be constantly active. Constantly active. A quote by Spurgeon is, "Oh, my brethren, we are wrong when we think that the church is healthy when it is comfortable and still." Still true today. We're dead wrong. Emphasis on dead. We're dead wrong when, as a church, we're comfortable and still. Comfortable and doing nothing that the Lord looks for in a church. Titus chapter 2, the 14th verse. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. He gave himself for us to redeem unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous. That speaks of burning. Having a burning desire. Being zealous of good works. We must not be comfortable. We must not be still and be doing nothing. Nor should we be active and doing the wrong thing or the wrong things. We must be zealous of doing those works that a church is called to do. We must be zealous. We must be burning. We must be ate up. We must be consumed with activity in fulfilling the call and the commission of the Lord's church, irregardless of what period of time we live in. It is said concerning Spurgeon, his solution to idleness wasn't a continuous cycle of programs. Instead, Spurgeon believed churches should focus on making disciples. Spurgeon warned, it is a marvel that they should be comfortable while souls are dying and sinners are perishing. When hell is filling, and the kingdom of Christ is not extending. Words of a song that come to my mind in light of this point is rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. That song, I believe, pretty much focuses in on are being devoted to the activities that a church should be devoted in and not be complacent and inactive. The fifth thing that a healthy church needs and must have is prayer. Prayer. It is said by Spurgeon, was said by Spurgeon, that the church is not prosperous if the prayer meeting be thin. A church is never going to prosper if we're not busy praying. Our prayer bands aren't full. The midweek service as full as the Sunday services. I heard years and years ago some sightseers coming to see the tabernacle there in London. And supposedly they encountered Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Not knowing who it was, he asked them, "Do you want to see the secret to the success of this church? You want to see the secret to the success of this ministry?" And he took those sightseers down into the basement of the church to a room where people were gathered and they were just praying. And it is reported that there was always somebody praying at the tabernacle there during those years that Spurgeon is called such a great success. The secret to success is prayer and praying. It's not enough to desire. It's not enough to want. We must really pray, earnestly pray for these things. What is a church? It is the work of the Lord. If the Lord doesn't build it, we labor in vain. Scriptures say that. If the Lord doesn't build this thing we're in, then we labor in vain. It's His building. It is an assembly, not a building, not a structure. It's not everybody who's gathered in a church. I find myself, shamefully, I will confess, I'm often asked, well, how many people go to your church? What size of church is Faith Baptist Church? And shamefully, I will say something along the facts, oh, we're around 60 people. That's true. We average around 60 people in all of our services. But those 60 people aren't all members. I'm ashamed of that, and I hope to change my pattern of behavior. A church is not everybody who attends it. A church is not everybody who's here tonight. A church is those who the Lord has saved, brought to scriptural baptism, called out from the world, made a body of Christ in this particular place. It is a called out assembly of people. Now here's the way we think. Oh, look at that poor little church, that little hypothetical church, somewhere on that country road, that little Baptist church. They've only got 20 people going there. Isn't that a shame? Why is it a shame if it's everything the Lord has made it to be? Why is it a shame if everyone that the Lord has wanted to add to it, He has added to it? Why is it a shame that it's doing the work of the Lord in the place where the Lord has put it? There should be no shame. And as we've said recently, more than one occasion, not only myself but others, we talk about, we whisper separation. Well, we will whisper church truth. Well, we believe church truth. But we overlook the most significant part of church work is the starting of other churches. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Baptize those that are saved. Well, what's the next thing? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. There's only one mega church that I can find in all of Scripture, and it was at Jerusalem. The Lord allowed them to become large in numbers, but He allowed them to become large in numbers that He might send persecution and scatter them and start a bunch of little churches all over the place. And from then on, most of the churches you find in the New Testament are meeting in people's homes, meeting here, meeting there. You don't find anything like you found at Jerusalem, much of anywhere else in Scripture. The work of the Lord is assembly, not a building, not everybody who's present. And God help us to see our important part of the equation, the role we play in maintaining the healthy nature of this church. A healthy church must maintain purity, doctrine, unity, its good works, and its prayer. Brother Derek, Brother Luke, if you'll come.